Good morning, you guys, and happy Sunday again. As you know, I am obviously standing here, so I'm filling in for Kirk this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you. It took me a little while to get some clarity on where I wanted to go for the word that I felt God was speaking into me for you today. And it was interesting because as I was kind of reading through my notes about what I wanted to be sharing today, I found out that this is something that I actually talked about in October last year on a Wednesday night. And then not only that, but the original notes that I wrote for this talk, I wrote in October of 2020. And so here we are in October 2022 with kind of a message that I feel like God's been stirring inside of me for a little while. And so we're going to be talking about the gospel today. And I'm going to be honest with you about something that I felt God had to kind of change in me over the course of time as I've been a Christian, because I had some misconceptions about the role of the gospel, to be honest with you. And let me clarify what I mean by that. I used to think that the gospel was really just a starting point for non-believers, okay? And some of you might be agreeing with me like, oh, isn't it just a starting point? And some of you are like, you idiot, can't believe you actually ever thought that it was just the starting point, because it's not just a starting point, okay? And I know you wouldn't call me an idiot, so I'm sorry I threw that word out here, okay? But it's not just a starting point. I remember we were doing, I was leading a men's breakfast, and we were doing this series called How to Be a Godly Man by Joby Martin. And I remember him making this statement of how we as believers, and he was speaking specifically to us as men, how we as men, we need to constantly be re-gospeling ourselves. And that it was that word re-gospeling that I couldn't get it out of my head. And so I just kind of wrote it down on a piece of paper and just with kind of like a question mark of like, I need to lean into this a little bit more. What does he mean by re-gospeling ourselves? Isn't the gospel just the starting point, right? You hear the gospel, you believe in Jesus, and then you're good until the clouds part and heaven comes down to earth, right? No. No, Stephen, that's not right. Okay, and so I couldn't get that word out of my head. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about my journey, but I'm going to talk about this journey that the gospel isn't just the start for your journey with Jesus. The gospel is the journey. Okay, the gospel is the journey for my life with Jesus. And so we're going to be reading today in Isaiah 61. And so if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to crack that puppy open. And don't let me go on a rant about bringing your Bible to church. You should bring your Bible to church, folks, but I got the words up on the board as well in case you don't have your Bible here, okay? And so this is Isaiah 61, and I'm going to tie it into this idea of the gospel. So just bear with me for a little bit because I'm going to do some reading for you. It says this in Isaiah 61, and we're going to read the whole chapter, folks. And so brace yourself, but it's only 11 verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, not space aliens, okay? People from other countries, aliens, okay? Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. And I'm going to read 10 and 11. And 10 and 11 kind of read almost like a psalm, in my opinion. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Amen. That is the word of the Lord. And God be praised for sure. So, you might be looking at Isaiah 61 and going, Stephen, that's Old Testament, man. I didn't hear Jesus at one point in that. How does that have anything to do with the gospel? And I'll get there, I promise. But Kirk, a couple weeks ago, I think it was at the beginning of September, he did a sermon on, he's been working his way through Philippians, and he was talking about kind of the portion in Philippians where the kind of the challenge from Paul is to press on, to keep going. And he was talking about feeling stuck. And he was talking about reverting to old ways. Now, how many of you ever found yourself in that kind of a position before? Feeling stuck or reverting to old ways. And I'll be honest with you, I've been there, Jerry, and I've been there. You and me both, buddy, right? We've been there. All of us sitting here, we've been there. We've been in a place where we've been stuck or where we've reverted to old ways. And I found myself feeling stuck and frustrated. And it was in that moment, and this is new revelation, you guys. This isn't like I'm telling you about when I was five and I was addicted to Kit Kats or something like that. False, okay? Kit Kats are terrible. Don't get addicted to Kit Kats, okay? Choose a worthy candy, please, okay? Anyway, but I was feeling stuck, and this is, but just a couple weeks ago, okay? And I found myself feeling super frustrated, and I felt myself being pulled back into old cycles and old habits. And it was in that moment that I felt Holy Spirit bring some revelation into me about where the gospel needed to direct me in my feeling of being stuck. Because the gospel, if you saw my subtitle, the gospel is the key always for getting unstuck. Anytime you find yourself in your walk with Jesus feeling stuck and reverting to old ways, the gospel is the key for getting you back on track. And so anytime, I'm going to say this, anytime that we find ourselves in this position, and this is going to sound harsh, we are failing to follow the track that the gospel has laid out for us. And I'll explain what I mean that in just a second. So often in our lives, we find ourselves walking in patterns that we told ourselves we would never repeat, right? Never going to do that again. Whoop, there we go again, okay? Fortunately, though, we're not confined to that process. We might engage in it. But we're not confined to that process. And the gospel carries within it the power to break off those patterns by presenting a new pattern, okay? And that's what I see in Isaiah 61. It's this pattern right here. And so if you're a writing person, I'd encourage you to write down these five stages. These five stages that the gospel has for us as Isaiah, the prophet, is laying them out for us in Isaiah 61. The first one is freedom. The second one is exchange. The next one is purpose. The next one is blessing. And the last one is witness and testimony. And I'll try to explain how each of these plays in. So when we hear the gospel for the very first time, that Jesus has died for our sins, that after 3 days he rose again and then preached to the body of believers and is now seated in heaven with God the Father, interceding on our behalf, the first thing that happens is we become awakened to this idea that we have freedom. We have freedom, and that's exactly what Isaiah is talking about in verse 1. Look at it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel right there to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. That is an awesome verse, and freedom is awesome. We love it here. We talk a lot about it a lot. But I would argue that as much as we love freedom and as much as we love to talk about it, we don't always engage in it. We don't always engage in it. Freedom oftentimes is not fully experienced. It sometimes comes to us just as an ideal, unfortunately. Pastor used to use this statement, okay? You're looking at me like a cow looking at a Newgate there. Somebody was there. Pastor used to talk about all that time. He used to use that expression all the time, okay? And oftentimes for some of us, hearing the good news of the gospel is this open door. It's this open door. Growing up, we used to have cows, okay, at our place. Not a lot of cows. I remember Snazzy, our beloved first cow, given as a gift from Stan the Man Snazza over here. So we lovingly and affectionately called her Snazzy in honor of Stan Snazza. And we treated that thing like a pet, Curtis. We treated it like a pet. And I remember we were driving to Florida, and we got the news that Snazzy, unfortunately, while we were driving to Florida, and she was back at home because it was the middle of winter, Snazzy had a little indigestion problem. And she bloated up big time and keeled over and died. And I bawled like a baby over that cow, Stan. Over a cow. I should have. Indeed, I loved Snazzy. She was our first cow. Man, I loved her. And she died and I bawled like a baby on the interstate somewhere in Missouri, probably. Okay? Misery in Missouri, unfortunately. The Story of Snazzy the Cow by Stephen Schiltz. That's a good children's book. I'm going to work on writing it later on today. After I finish this gig, I'm going to move on to the next thing, right? Okay? But here's the deal. Because we treated our cows like pets, and we did that all throughout our lives, okay? We'd open that gate to bring in, you know, like hay for them and stuff like that. And I'd help Dad, and I'd open the gate, and Dad would drive the tractor in. We'd open that gate wide, and the cows would just sit there staring at it. Like, what are we supposed to do about that? Because they loved their little area. They loved their little pasture. They got corn. They got hay. They had everything they need. And they didn't realize that just on the other side of that gate was rolling fields of corn for them to trample through and eat to their heart's content. But they just sit and stare. Like, we don't know anything else. What are we supposed to do about this? Right? And sometimes this is us as Christians. When we find out about the freedom that the gospel has for us, what are we supposed to do about that? This is what I know. This is my life. This is my existence. This is all I've ever known, Jesus. You want me to do something about that? And we just sit and we just stare at an open door. And we got to be careful that we don't let freedom become just an idea or an ideal. And we got to be careful that we don't waste our freedom. Some of you are stuck at freedom. You've gotten stuck at freedom where you've heard the good news of Jesus, but you're living your old life. Ouch. You've heard the good news of freedom, but you're living your old life. And I would argue that the gospel has more in store for you than living your old life. And we got to be careful that we don't get stuck at freedom, because in order for it to be true freedom, there has to be the next step. There has to be the next track, and it is exchange. It is trading. I've got to trade now. I can't get stuck at freedom. There has to be some sort of an exchange. And that's what Isaiah is talking about in verse 3. Take a look at it. To bestow on them a crown of beauty for their ashes, a garment of praise instead of despair, gladness instead of mourning, and they're going to be called oaks of righteousness. They're going to be a planting. Remember who Isaiah is writing this to. He's writing this to a bunch of nomadic drifters who have been kicked around and pushed around and kicked out of their own land and taken to this land and then sent away to another land, and they've been bouncing like ping pong balls. And sometimes that's how you and I feel in our walk with Jesus, that we're bouncing around. And we can't get a firm hold. And it's because we need to be in this process of exchange where I'm trading my old life and my old ways and, dare I say, my old thoughts. My old thoughts that have held me captive for so long. I need to trade my old life, my old ways of thinking, for the life that Jesus lived, for his ways and, dare I say, his thoughts. There has to be this exchange, because without the exchange, freedom is just me looking over there going, well, what am I supposed to do about that, Jesus? This is what I know. No, start trading. Start trading. Get gladness, right? Get a crown, right? Get praise. Get planted. We got to be careful that we don't get stuck at freedom. There has to be an exchange of trading my sin for his righteousness. And that's what's being offered to me in the gospel. But just like you can get stuck at freedom, you can get stuck at exchange. Okay? You can get stuck at exchange. And if we get stuck at exchange, in order for it to be a true exchange, we have to walk out what's called a new purpose. Okay? Because the danger is this. The danger is this. If I'm stuck in a place of exchange, a lot of times what can happen is I'm so focused on trading all the things that I've got inside of me. You know, think about some of the things that we tend to carry. Guilt, shame, resentment, bitterness, right? And if I'm just stuck in this season of exchange, and I need to exchange, but if I don't do anything with it, and if I don't walk out in purpose, a lot of times I get stuck in exchange and it becomes paralyzing, where I keep telling myself, I'm not ready, God. I'm not ready. I still got this inside of me. I still got bitterness, or I still got anger, or I still got rage. I still got whatever, whatever that you're struggling with. If I get stuck at exchange, I'm going to continually be telling Jesus, I'm not ready for the next step. And he would say, that's not the full gospel, Stephen. You need to start walking in purpose. I can't be stuck in exchange, because in order for it to be a true exchange, I have to walk it out. I have to walk it out. I have to walk in purpose. And where do I get this? Well, Isaiah 61, verse 4 and 6a. It says this: they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. We are called to rebuild relationships. We are called to restore covenants that we've made. We're called to renew covenants that we've made. We're called to be walking in purpose. And if I don't step into purpose, my exchange is going to paralyze me, and I'm going to constantly be telling myself, I'm not ready for that, Jesus. I'm not ready for that, as he's calling me to the next step or to the next level. And so I'm called to rebuild. I'm called to renew. I'm called to restore things in my life by walking in purpose. And if you're not walking in purpose and calling, you're not experienced in the fullness that the gospel has for you. And so you might ask me this, well, Stephen, what does walking in the purpose that God has for us look like? Well, it's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. Christ living in me. Looking at the Jesus life in the Gospels and walking that out, living how he lived, trusting in his Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. But just like I can get stuck at exchange, and that can be paralyzing, and just like I can get stuck at freedom and I'm staring at an open door going, what am I supposed to do about this? I can get caught up in purpose. I can get caught up in purpose. And you might say, well, what's the danger, Stephen, in getting caught up in purpose? Well, getting stuck in purpose will oftentimes lead to exhaustion. Getting stuck in purpose oftentimes will lead to a place of what I like to call doing over being, where I'm doing for God and not being with God. Getting stuck in purpose oftentimes leads to a place of resentment or feelings of resentment because I'm doing all this stuff for you, God, or I'm doing all this stuff for the church, or I'm doing all this stuff for whatever, okay? And I'm not feeling anything in return. And Jesus would say, because that's not where you were meant to be. That's not the full gospel. How many of you know freedom's a good thing? How many of you know exchange is a good thing? How many of you know purpose is a good thing? But if you get stuck at those stages in your walk with Jesus, it can be debilitating in your walk with him. And so the goal of the gospel is to never get stuck at any one of these stages. And just like I can get stuck at purpose, I don't want to get stuck at purpose, I should say. Just like I can get stuck at exchange of freedom, I can get stuck in purpose. And so then, well, then what's the next stage then, Stephen, after purpose? It's blessing. It's blessing. Take a look at this in Isaiah 61, verse 7. Okay? Isaiah writes this, instead of their shame, my people will receive, I like that, a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. How many of you desire to have a double portion of God's blessing on your life? Yeah, yeah. Amen, indeed. Amen, indeed. And when we walk in the freedom and exchange and purpose that the gospel has for us, guess what? We are positioned to receive the blessing that he has for us. Now, how do you get here, though? That would be a question that I'd ask. How do you get here, Stephen? How do you get here so that I can experience that blessing? Well, the short answer is you don't do it. Jesus did it. You don't do it. Jesus did it. Because the freedom that the gospel presents comes from him. The exchange that the gospel presents comes from him. The purpose that the gospel presents comes from him. And the blessing that the gospel presents comes from him. You knew the answer. Awesome. Okay? So if Jesus did it all then, right, what's our part? You're not going to like it. Surrender, willingness, obedience, and trust. Surrender, willingness, obedience, and trust. Now, how many of you know that sounds hard? Yeah. But guess what? That also comes from him, right? Because ingrained in the gospel is this constant dependency on Jesus every step of the way. Because anytime I find myself getting stuck, chances are it's because I'm the one to blame. Because I'm the one who's doing it to myself. And I need to trust in God to lead me into the next level. But guess what? Just like you can get stuck at freedom and stuck at exchange and stuck at purpose, did you know that you can actually get stuck at blessing? Now, doesn't that sound like a great place to be stuck, though? Like, stuck in blessing, Stephen. Now, that'll preach, buddy. Why aren't you telling that sermon today? But just like you can get stuck in those other stages and freedom's good, but if you're stuck in it, it's bad. And exchange is good, but if you're stuck there, it's bad. And purpose is good, but if you're stuck there, it's bad. Blessing can become bad because and when you are stuck in blessing, it leads to greed. And it leads to apathy because your life is so good and it's hard to care about the lives of other people. And it starts to look like laziness. And it starts to look like arrogance. And for some of us on this journey of the gospel, some of us have found ourselves stuck in blessing. And blessing is good, but it's not the right place for you to be. Okay? So don't get stuck at blessing because our blessing is meant to be shared with other people. And that's where our next track is. Witness and testimony. Where does that come from? Next verse. Isaiah 61, verse 9. Isaiah wrote this sermon for me, so I'm just repackaging it for you, okay? He writes this, "Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed." Our blessing that we have from Jesus is meant to be shared. But here's the hard part. I know this to be true for myself, okay? That our tendency oftentimes is to personalize or privatize our faith. And use statements like, well, it's just my faith. I'm just going to kind of keep it to myself. I'm just going to kind of mind my own business, okay? I don't want to mess with anybody else. I don't want to say anything that offend anybody. It's my faith. It's just me. I'm just going to be that quiet Christian in the corner, Jesus. When you come back, that's where you're going to find me. I'm just right over there. I'm never going to leave it, okay? I'm right. You'll find me. I'll be right over there, okay? Get hiding behind the fake ficus tree or whatever that is over there, okay? And when you show up, I'll come out, flag you down, okay? Right? Our blessing is meant to be shared. It's your relationship with God. True, true. It is your relationship with God, and it is my relationship with God. That's true, but it's not the whole story, Kirk once said. It's not the whole story, okay? As I experience the freedom, exchange purpose, and blessing of the gospel, my life becomes this witness or this testimony that can be a catalyst, you guys, a catalyst for the exponential growth of God's kingdom or the exponential increase of God's kingdom. You know, when we share our faith and experience with other believers and non-believers, we're taking part in the expansion of God's kingdom. And how great to be part of that. But guess what? Just like you can get stuck at freedom, and just like you can get stuck at exchange, and just like you can get stuck at purpose, and you can get stuck at blessing, guess where else you can get stuck? At witness and testimony. And you might think, well, Stephen, that's a good place to get stuck. Not if it stunts your growth, because you're living off of last year's testimony, or the only testimony you have is when God saved you at age 5, and now he's just kind of left you alone to do your own thing till he comes back, right? Right? That's a bad place to get stuck because he has new mercies for you every morning, which means you're going to encounter situations and struggles tomorrow. There's mercy waiting for you, but there's a struggle waiting for you too. And it's that witness and testimony that you carry that's meant to spur you on into the next challenge. It's meant to lead you to that next step. So don't get stuck at witness and testimony because it's meant to bring us back to freedom again. Freedom for ourselves for the next stronghold that we face, where my testimony of yesterday gets me through today. And my testimony of today is going to get me through tomorrow. And it's not only going to help me walk in freedom and step back into freedom, it's also going to be a means for others to walk in freedom and to step into freedom. Verse 9 brings us back to verse 1. As I'm walking out this witness and testimony, my next stop is freedom again. But I don't want to get stuck there because exchange needs to take place. And I don't want to get stuck there because then I need to walk in purpose. And I don't want to get stuck there because I'm meant to experience God's blessing. And I don't want to get stuck there because that God's blessing is meant to be shared with other people. And I don't want to get stuck there because that message of hope is meant to spur me on towards freedom again. And it's this constant track that my life is meant to be carried through. It's freedom which leads to exchange. It's exchange that leads to purpose. It's purpose that leads to blessing. And it's blessing that leads to witness and testimony. And it's witness and testimony that brings me right back to freedom again. I got to be careful that I don't get stuck. But how many of you know I'm going to get stuck? I'm going to get stuck. But thank goodness I have a key in the gospel. And so let me just give you an example of this, okay? Me getting stuck at freedom. My job at the school, I work as a counselor / PE coach. And I was experiencing some behaviors, okay, in some students that were old behaviors that we had been dealing with at the school, okay? And they're not new behaviors because kids have been bad since the moment creation started, okay? All right, okay? Cain and Abel. You remember how that worked out? Kids have been bad forever, okay? They have been. If you like to think kids are worse today than they were, you don't remember your childhood growing up very well, okay? Kids have always been bad, always, since the dawn of creation. They have been bad, okay? Well, the fall of man, I should say, they've been bad, okay? Okay? And I was feeling helpless. I was feeling helpless with some of these behaviors that I was seeing in our students, and I was feeling helpless. And how many of you know the first goal of the gospel or track of the gospel is freedom. And I knew that I have authority. I knew that I have authority, not my man-given authority that I do have at my job. I have God-given authority. I have God-given authority when I walk the hallways of the school praying for kids. Okay? I have that. I know I have it. But how many of you have been in a position where you know you got authority, but you ain't experiencing it? Okay? And I was in that place. And I found myself just kind of frustrated and feeling stuck and feeling helpless. And then I got this revelation from Jesus that I needed to exchange my frustration with those pesky students with Jesus's compassion for them. I was stuck in freedom. That's why I wasn't experiencing authority. I was stuck in freedom. I knew things should be better, but they weren't getting better. And all I was doing was just staring at an open door going, well, what am I supposed to do now, God? Kids have just always been bad, right? What do I do? I don't know. What do I do, right? Okay? I needed to exchange. I needed to exchange, and it came as a revelation. We had Pastor Mike here and our youth. We were doing this circle sharing. And was part of our youth service on Saturday during the afternoon. And we were doing this sharing going around the circle. And I think the question actually was, like, what are some things that you need to exchange? And I'm sitting there going, well, that's a weird question. What do I need to exchange, right? Ding! Oh, that's right. Me walking in frustration. That's what I need to exchange, right? Holy Spirit is just like, you have something. You have something to trade. You want it, but you shouldn't want it, okay? It's time to give that up, buddy. And so I had this revelation that I needed to exchange my frustration with my students for Jesus's compassion for them. And so, reluctantly, yet willingly, how many of you have done that reluctantly and willingly at the same time, okay? Yes, I asked Jesus to take my frustration and fill me with compassion. And you know what? It worked. It worked. And suddenly I started to think about some of these students differently. Because every morning I was like, okay, Stephen, you got to trade. You got to trade your frustration for compassion. Every morning that week, I kept telling myself, trade your frustration for compassion. Okay? Ask Jesus to give you compassion. Okay? But I couldn't get stuck at the exchange either. because I knew as Jesus was filling me with compassion, I needed to step into God's purpose for me to be praying for the students that I meet with. And I knew I was going to be having a difficult conversation with a student in my office. And I felt myself just kind of feeling like, have you ever been anxious about something? I was just kind of anxious. And I was just kind of pacing in my office because I knew this kid was going to be walking in. And what am I going to say to him? Because it's been the same old every single time we meet week after week, week after week, week after week is we've been getting nowhere, Stephen. We've been getting nowhere. Oh, wait a second. This sounds a lot like me and my old ways of thinking. This doesn't sound like me exchanging my frustrations. Okay, Jesus, give me compassion. And then all of a sudden, I started praying for this kid. As Jesus filled me with compassion, I started to step into purpose for God that God had for me to be praying for the student that I was meeting with. And you know what? I prayed for him. I prayed for him. I prayed for him. He came in. We had a completely different meeting. Like, completely different. Like, who is this kid sitting across from me? Like, he finally opened up with some of the stuff that had been going on inside. And I knew there was stuff inside of him, but I couldn't pull it out of him, okay? And I tried to pull it out of him, and Holy Spirit said, have you tried me? Right? Right? And so I started to pray for this kid, and as I was praying for him and as we talked, I experienced the blessing of what it looked like and felt like to walk in true authority. Oh my goodness. It felt amazing, you guys. It was kind of like this rush of just like, this stuff works, right? And I experienced true authority in a difficult situation. And you know what? I can't get stuck there. I can't get stuck there, which is why I'm doing my part of sharing this story of breakthrough with you, of witness and testimony, which is gonna spur me on, not only for the next difficult conversation, but it might spur you on for a difficult experience that you're having, okay? It's to not get stuck at any of those stages. The goal of the gospel is to never get stuck at one of the stages. We're needing to constantly, constantly re-gospel ourselves, as Joby Martin said. We've gotta be re-gospeling ourselves. It's the key for getting unstuck. So here's my question for you. I'm going to close with cringy questions, okay? Are you feeling stuck? And chances are you might be, okay? Feeling stuck, just like I was feeling stuck, okay? And no judgment, okay? And then what stage are you feeling you got stuck at, though? Maybe you got stuck looking at an open door. Maybe you got stuck at trading all your bad for Jesus' good, but it's paralyzed you because you just don't feel good enough yet to move to the next stage. Maybe you're doing lots of stuff and you just feel exhausted. But praise God, I'm going to press on, as Pastor Kirk said. Yes, but that wasn't the full message, okay? We are called to press on, but we're also called to lean in at the same time, okay? Or maybe you just got so blessed and excited that you just kind of forgot about everybody else in the world. Or maybe you're still living on last year's testimony. Or maybe you're still living off of last decade's testimony, okay? The goal of the gospel is to never get stuck. And so as you're sitting here today, I want you to think about it just for a little bit. If you're feeling stuck, what stage are you at? What stage in that process are you at? And then do this, because this is what I felt God, you know, dropped in me to help me get unstuck. Ask the Holy Spirit for the wisdom for moving forward. Right? I didn't realize I was stuck at freedom until Holy Spirit told me I needed to exchange some stuff. The goal of the gospel is that my life is crucified and that Jesus' life is fully realized inside of me. And so anytime I find myself stuck, I want to find wisdom from the Holy Spirit to help me with moving forward. Amen? Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for the gospel, Jesus, that it is the power of salvation. Lord, I ask, Jesus, that you would begin to speak to hearts. For anyone here that's feeling stuck right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would offer wisdom and revelation for moving forward. And Jesus, I thank you that you did it. And Lord, I thank you that my role in this is to surrender, to be crucified, so that your life is lived in me, Jesus. And I thank you that you don't leave us alone to figure it out, but that you have sent your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and revelation and guidance for each new step we take. Amen.